Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. We'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 20-3 loss on Thursday night against the Seahawks in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Short on time? Come out to TPC Harding Park's Fleming 9 and try out their new greens. Celebrate the grand reopening this Saturday, October the 24th, between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Standard Fleming rates will apply, but the rates will include free food and drinks, prizes, and more. Fleming is a first-come, first-served course, so just show up and hit the sticks. Call the golf shop at 415-664-4690 for more information. And Steve Bono joins us here on a Friday. We decided it would be best to talk about this game while it was fresh in our minds, the 20-3 loss to the Seahawks, although I don't know, maybe not best, because yeah, it's a frustrating one to talk about, Steve. Certainly, to lose this game and have an offense where you had more punts than first downs. They only had 8 first downs, and they only had 142 yards of offense. So, I mean, let's start with the offense. It was just awful. They just couldn't really move the football, and you can say that Seattle's defense has something to do with it, but at the same time, I mean, the 49ers just did not look fluid with their offense at all.
No, they didn't, and I think a few things. One, I can only assume that they kind of went back to the shotgun because Carlos was not 100%, and I'm not sure about Bruce Miller, but he wasn't in there much. And then, you know, Reggie's going to play, and I think the thought was, okay, let's go back to more shotgun and try and get the ball to Reggie quickly, you know, more, not so much on runs, but on passes. Get the ball out of Cap's hand quickly. That didn't seem to happen. One, I'm going to say that the defense was confusing Cap, and two, offensive line was struggling. It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't.
It was not good.
It's hard to explain some of the throws that Kaepernick made, too. I don't know if he needs to go back to the drawing board as far as mechanics, because threw a few balls out of bounds there that were just sailing way over the head of the intended receiver.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that was kind of the plan the last couple of weeks of putting him under center, two backs in the backfield. We talked about this the last couple of weeks, and seemed to be working. As I mentioned a minute ago, I think the reason they got away from it was because of injuries. It just looks like Cap is out of rhythm. He's on his back foot. You know, he's kind of taken a hop and a skip, and his weight is on his back foot, and then his elbow's down a little bit, and the ball is just flying. I mean, there were a number of them that were way off target.
Yeah, it almost sounds like you're describing a pitcher in Major League Baseball, and it's hard to work on your mechanics in between your starts, you know? I mean, you can't really work on it during the game for sure, right? I mean,
right. You just don't know. You don't know where your release point is, and again, it's a confidence issue. It's in your head. As you mentioned, with a pitcher that can't find a strike zone, it gets in your head. You start thinking about it, and then your mechanics get worse because then you start to, you know, you start aiming it and not being fluid in your motion, and you lose the release point. Sometimes it's low and sometimes it's high, and there were definitely some of those last night.
I know that he's worried about turning the ball over. I mean, no quarterback wants to throw four picks and like he did, but he's too worried about it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he's just tentative.
He's way too worried about it. And you can see it. It's hard to. Sometimes I'm watching the defense, and sometimes I'm watching him, and it's hard to see both of them. unfortunately. But when I watch him, I see him get to his top of his drop, and I see that flinch, like I'm going, and then it's a hesitation, and then it's over. That's something that is obviously easier to see on film, where you can run it back and forth and look at both things. And but there's definitely indecision, and I think the indecision comes from the worrying about throwing interceptions or turning the ball over, and it gets in your head, and it doesn't allow you to pull the trigger sometimes. Although then he threw a ball to Anquan. Anquan's covered, but you know what? It's one on one. I'm going to count on my guy to win, and he wins. You know, Anquan bodied the guy up, got his body between the defender and the ball, and makes the catch, and it's a 20-yard gain, 25-yard gain, whatever it was.
I think a lot of people would like to see him take that risk more often. Yeah.
I agree. I mean, the more you think about, I can't throw an interception, you're going to throw more. You're going to throw more interceptions. It's the Ken Venturi theory. I heard him give a talk once about golfers are the worst, because the last thing you think about is the hazard.
Right before you swing.
Exactly. Right before you swing.
Yeah, you know, Cap reminded me of a golfer a lot because of those high throws. It was like kind of when you're slicing it, and then he threw a couple into the ground. And it's like, oh man, I just topped the ball. He's overcompensating.
You're trying to adjust your swing in the middle of it. It doesn't work, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Well, another thing, I mean, in the first quarter, I think it was the first drive of the game, Cap actually had all day to throw, which was very unusual in this game because he was sacked 6 times. But he had a lot of time on this one play. And instead of throwing the ball 20, 30 yards down the field, which he could have, and maybe some of the receivers weren't wide open, but just give it a shot, he ends up dumping it off. You know, it's just another one where he's just got all day to make a big play, and he dumps it off.
That one, it was maybe the first or second throw of the game. He had a ton of time. He didn't get it off in rhythm, so... Okay, now all of a sudden it becomes, don't turn it over. You know what I mean?
That's what it was.
And he had the time, and you maybe missed the first read, or you hesitated on it. And, you know, I'm okay with that. Either take off and run with it, or just dump it off. Don't fire one late down the middle, because that's most of the time that's intercepted.
Yeah, and I mean, he's not really throwing to Torrey Smith all year. He really hasn't thrown to him very much. He had a dropped one, but Smith even came out and tweeted that it's unacceptable. That was sorry as far as the team effort. So, you know, he's obviously lost some confidence in the team, and he was a big signing in the offseason, but they're just not utilizing him.
They're just watching the linemen come off the field. They're, especially in the second half, you can see the frustration. I think in the whole off, in themselves and in each other, and it's unfortunate when you see that frustration when they're coming off the field.
I think the only positives I could see from the offensive side were that Vernon Davis finally was involved, and he got open a little bit. He looked much healthier, and Reggie Bush too. I mean, he had some decent plays where it looked like he could maybe break it even further, but he did pick up some chunks a little bit there on a reception or on a rush where it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, he did. I mean, that's basically the first game he's played all season, I think.
For any amount of time.
Plays. Exactly. They can definitely use his help. That speed coming out of the backfield. He can make things happen once he has the ball in his hand. I don't think he's going to make much happen running between the tackles. So the way for them to get him the ball is to swing him out or, run him on some sort of a read or option route type, 5-6 yard route out from out of the backfield. Try and get him matched up on a linebacker that they know he can beat. It was good to see Vernon back in there. I mean, he definitely opened up. They had that one nice throw in the second half. Might have been the third quarter.
Yeah, 27-yarder.
They kind of had a little hitch and go route on the outsides and a seam route on the inside, and good read by Cap. But again, he got back, little pump fake, reset his feet, made the throw. It was in time.
That's pretty much a good description of it.
Yeah.
I mean, what about the fact that he had no rushing attempts? Because there had to be a couple of times there where he could have just tucked it and run. And with his ability, I mean, he's got to figure there's a couple of plays, maybe even designed runs for him.
Yeah. I think those are harder to do out of the shotgun.
Yeah.
Reggie's back there standing beside him. Reggie's not a threat to run in between the tackles, so there's not really much of a read option while he's in there. And I think that those runs, those play actions where it's a run pass for Cap, you just don't get them as much out of the shotgun. They were prevalent the last couple of weeks when he was standing under center.
Yeah. It's interesting because you are majorly in favor of him being under center. I even talked to Phil Simms yesterday, and he talked about attributes of being under center too. Just the ability to, when you're dropping back, you can see everything better. That was his thought.
Yeah. I mean, there's just... they did it for the right reasons before a couple weeks ago, and that was to get him in rhythm. And it was evident to me last night that I think the reason they didn't do it, like I said, was injuries, and he was out of rhythm. He's just, like I said, it's harder. You have to throw the ball in rhythm out of the shotgun, but in my mind it's harder to do, maybe because I never really did it. So to me it's harder to do, and I just could see him kind of a hop and a little shuffle, and he was on his back foot and just out of rhythm. So as I told him after that happened to run into him after the game last night, they got a few days off, got to get away from it, clear head, get back in there with Jeep on Monday and basically start a new season.
Did he seem like a guy who could turn things around? I mean, he seems to have he seems to have deep down where he knows he can do it, but I don't know what's going on.
Yeah,
inwardly.
I don't know him. I don't know him that well to be able to see that, from the exterior, without him saying anything. That's a hard one for me to read. But just trying to be positive with him and like I said, just get away from it and clear your head and come back and try and make the best of the second half of the season. And it's not getting any easier.
No, it isn't. And for the defense, there weren't too many bright spots either. I mean, maybe a few.
But
they sacked Russell Wilson five times. You can look at that.
Yeah, I mean, but again, if defensively, you held them to 20 points, that's a win.
Right.
You know what I mean?
In today's NFL, yeah.
I'm going. That was one of Shotzi's, Marty Schottenheimer's, deals. He was a big stat guy and the different types of wins in the game. That hurt him in the playoffs, but in the regular season it works. Defense holds a team to less than 21 points, you should win.
True. I mean, they gave up a couple big plays. I mean, that Tyler Lockett 43-yard touchdown.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
What a throw.
Perfect throw.
Cool.
Yeah.
What a throw. On that angle, that's a hard throw because it's got to be so precise. I mean, if that's a foot left or a foot right, the the catch itself becomes exponentially greater.
Right.
Exponentially harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect. And then I think, you know, I expected Marshawn Lynch to rush for 100 yards. This is the way he is. I mean, he's breaking tackles, and he's not getting huge runs, but he's just always getting 6 yards instead of one, you know, that kind of thing.
He's a man. He's a beast.
Yeah.
He's swatting, like truly swatting guys off of him.
He's an angry runner. Yeah.
He's an angry runner. Yeah.
Yes, and that's what I expect Hyde to be eventually. I don't know that Hyde is 100%, though. You know?
No, but he again, even at not 100%, I thought he ripped off a couple nice ones last night.
He did. Yeah, he did.
Three or four of them, but still, I was like, okay, he's not 100%, but he's not 50 either.
Right. But there still were a few breakdowns there, and maybe this is because Russell Wilson always seems to find open receivers, but there were a few times where guys were just wide open, and it seems to happen at least a couple times a game for the Niners defense.
There were definitely some breakdowns in coverage. It seemed to me like they were getting confused between whether they were playing like two-man coverage or straight two, you know, or two-zone. A couple times, like the corner sank down with the outside guy, and then they ran a drag, or they ran a wide route, you know, which is usually a lousy route against cover two. But the corner sank down with the number one, and there was nobody out in the flat. I mean, there was a receiver out in the flat, but not a defender. So, and it just seemed like there were some breakdowns in some man coverages.
They did have a couple of interceptions on, and Wilson made some mistakes. There's no doubt. So
that's a tough one. That one in the end zone. I mean, that's a heck of a play by number 26.
Tremaine Brock made that one.
Tremaine Brock, and then actually, I wonder how he came out. He took a helmet right in the knee or in the shin late in the game.
He's a little banged up. So is Bethea. Bethea hurt his shoulder.
Yeah. But that was, you know, that's a nice peel back on a play like that. As a quarterback, I mean, you think every time you have that one, that guy peels back on you, like, God damn it.
And then he's going to get the interception, right?
Yeah, but I mean, still, even with the breakdowns, I thought that was a winning effort by the defense. Offense got it. You're counting on your offense to score 21 points.
Well, now, when you just look at the overall season, the inconsistencies are there. I mean, mostly it's been a poor season, but you know, you look at winning against Baltimore, and the offense looked like it was going, and Kaepernick threw for 340. You thought, okay, maybe they got a chance here against Seattle, and there was a short turnaround. But how do you solve that when, you know, two games in a row, really, the offense was good? I mean, against the Giants, they almost won that game.
Yeah.
But this game reverted back to the Green Bay and Arizona type games. You know,
it did.
They just couldn't do anything. They had one drive, really, and that was it.
Yeah, it did. It did. You know, I think part of it's been injuries. I think that they've been a little bit of two different types of offenses. You know, I think during this time off, Jeep and them need to figure out, okay, you know, who are we? I mean, it's almost halfway. They're what, 2-5?
2-5, yeah.
So almost halfway, and like, okay, who are we? You know, are we a team that's going to put Cap under center and line up with two backs and a tight end and run the rock and play action and movement pass from it, or are we, you know, three wide outs, a tight end and a running back? Or I mean, Vernon stands out there almost like a tight, like a wide out, and run the read option, run a trapping game on the inside, but throw the ball most of the time. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, they have plenty of time to figure it out before the next game, a week and a half before they play the Rams. And, you know, Todd Gurley is a good running back for the Rams now. He's got 146, 159 yards rushing in road games against the Cardinals and the Packers recently. So that game's in St. Louis, November the 1st. Plenty of time. Is that maybe an advantage for the 49ers coming up? It's not a bye, but a long, long 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. I hope so, because I think right now they need it. I think, honestly, they're like what I just mentioned. They need to do a little soul searching, and you know, who are we, and go from there. Because it's as I said earlier in the conversation, it's not getting easier. They got the Rams twice, they got the Cardinals twice, they got to go to they got the Cardinals here, right?
Yeah, got Cardinals here. Got to go to Seattle.
You have to go to Seattle. You have Atlanta coming here. You have.
Later on in the year, Cincinnati coming here.
That's much later in the year, and Cincinnati, they could be pretty. I mean, they're pretty damn good already.
Right.
They could be a team that people are looking at to make it to the Super Bowl.
Have you ever been on a team that started poorly but made a nice run, even if you didn't make the playoffs? Just made a nice run, like, you know, Seattle started poorly last year.
How about going 1-10? I think we won the first game of the year. This is a long time ago. This is 1988.
Okay.
With the Steelers. I think we won the first game of the year against we played the Redskins in the old RFK, and then I think we lost 10 in a row. And then we had a young team. We had a lot of guys on that team that became really good players. Really young team, and then somehow we figured it out, and we won the last five games of the year.
Wow! So you had a great feeling going into the post.
We were 6-10 at the end of the season.
So you had a good feel, really good feeling going into the off season.
I ended up, you know, that was the year of Plan B, and I ended up getting let go. But in hindsight, thank goodness, because I ended up here.
Right, exactly.
it was a rough 10 weeks, but for however, I don't remember how we figured it out, but we all of a sudden got on a roll and off we went and won five in a row.
You know, I have one more question before we finish up, and we actually have covered this a little bit before about the possibility of Kaepernick not so much being replaced, but giving Gabbert some snaps, because this was a heavy-duty conversation on KBR on Thursday night after the game. And, you know, I still disagree with it. I just don't think it's a good idea. I mean, you kind of stay with your guy. But how do you look at it? I mean, you know, you've been a backup before. You know what Gabbert's thinking and how he must be just ready to go. I want to come in there and help and do something.
Yeah.
What do you do in this situation?
And I've been replaced before, too, as a starter.
Right. So. You know both.
It's a great question. I don't know if I have the right answer. I think I have two answers, and you know, that's the two sides of the fence. Is okay, if you replace Cap right now, who's obviously struggling.
Yeah,
there's no question mentally. If you replace him right now. Not sure which way he goes. You know, you could crush him and he goes and pouts and I don't think he would. I don't think that's his nature. If you replace him now, you hope that he doesn't pout, that he doesn't become. He doesn't single himself out. He sticks with the team, helps Blaine, you know, stays a team player.
Right.
That's the ultimate. If you stay with Cap right now, which I still think they'll do, because I think more importantly, they need to figure out who they are. If you stay with them and he struggles in St. Louis, in 10 days, uh, I, I think you need to seriously think about, because then he struggled mentally. So you got to give him time to figure it out mentally, and you have to give Blaine a chance. I mean, let's face it. Here's a guy who was a number six pick or eight pick.
Yeah, he was a high pick.
He's a high pick.
Exactly, yeah.
So he obviously has some talent, and he does. He's got some physical talent. But here's a guy who was mightily struggling when he came here.
Yeah.
They just crushed him in Jacksonville mentally. So he understands what's going on. If Cap struggles, I think, in the first half in 10 days, I think you got to seriously consider it.
Yeah.
It may not be a permanent change, but you got to let Cap get his head straight.
Yeah, I mean, again, I bring up the baseball analogy. You got to allow a pitcher to clear his head. Sometimes he comes out of the rotation for a little while, and then he comes back in.
Yeah.
I mean, because this 2015 report card for Cap, it does include, you know, some decent games, especially that Baltimore game.
Right.
So you can't just totally give up on him.
No. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And both guys have to understand that.
Right. Yeah. Well, we'll see what they decide. It's going to be a lot of work here in the next week and a half, I would think, for this team.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Steve.
A lot of soul searching.
Exactly. Well, we'll be back at it on November the 3rd, which is a Tuesday.
Sounds good.
And we'll talk about that St. Louis game. Thanks, Steve.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. And as we said, we'll talk again on Tuesday, November the 3rd, as we will analyze the game in St. Louis against the Rams. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra.